Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius the Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years about which the word of Yahweh had come to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishing of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. So, Daniel was thinking, well, Jeremiah said 70 years, Jerusalem would be desolate. That must have happened. Well, Daniel would have been a pretty old man because he himself had gone into captivity as a boy, really, not much more than a boy. And so he's saying, look, the 70 years must be up. He would have been at least 80, maybe probably in his mid-80s, at least. So I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and petitions with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to Yahweh my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments. Neither have we listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers. Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as at this day. So Daniel doesn't say, oh, well, God, the people sinned, didn't they? They're pretty awful. How bad are the people? He says, we sinned. We are ashamed. To us belongs shame of face. And reminds me of how Ezra blushed to lift up his face to God. He also prayed in the same way, that we have sinned. And so we are to consider ourselves as part of the people of God. And no matter how weak they are, it's no good saying, oh, if that sort of thing goes on in the church, if that's what Christians are like, oh, I'm not going to be a Christian. No, we are part of the body of Christ. And if the body of Christ is weak, it's like in a family. If you belong to a family and there's people in that family who might do something awful, well, we as a family are ashamed. And that's how Daniel feels here. He says to us, there belongs shame of face because of our sin. To us belongs shame of face, he repeats it, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh our God to walk in his laws. Yes, all Israel have transgressed your law, turning aside that they should not obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us, for we have sinned against him. So we can't just escape from our connection with God's people. We have sinned. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing on us a great evil. For under the whole heaven such has not been done as has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come on us. Yet have we not entreated the favour of Yahweh that we should turn from our iniquities and accept your truth? So to accept God's truth doesn't mean working things out in terms of, oh yeah, now I understand this Bible verse or that Bible verse. To accept the truth ultimately means to accept that we are sinners, to repent and to believe that God has really forgiven me. Therefore has Yahweh watched over the evil and brought it on us. So you see how evil comes from Yahweh, from God. As Isaiah 45 says, I create peace and I create evil in the sense of disaster. So it's not true that up in heaven there's God like a kind uncle or a kind granddad giving you all the nice things and there's this evil Satan giving you all the bad things. No, it all comes from God. If, for example, you have a birthday and you get lots of presents and you're really happy, and they think, oh yeah, thank you God, that all came from you. But then you go out the next day and you break your leg and you fail an exam and you miss the, you miss the last bus and have to walk home hobbling on your broken leg. It's no good thinking, oh, God gave me yesterday all my nice presents and a nice feeling for my birthday, but now the devil has come and given me all this bad stuff. No, this is all from God. God is all powerful. So he says, "You, Yahweh, have brought the evil on us, for you are righteous in all your works, and we have not obeyed his voice. Now, Lord our God, you who brought your people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten yourself a name as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Lord, according to all your righteousness, please let your anger and your wrath be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all around us. Now therefore, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his petitions, and cause your face to shine on your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. My God, turn your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. We do not present our petitions before you for our righteousness, but for your great mercy's sake. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen and do. Don't defer for your own sake, my God, because your city and your people are called by your name." So he says, don't defer. He sees that God has said Jerusalem's going to be desolate for 70 years and the time appears to be up, and he says, please don't delay, because he sees that, well, it hasn't been rebuilt. Well, the truth is that God's purpose is open to some degree. Like he said to Nineveh, in 40 days I'll destroy Nineveh. But they repented, so he didn't. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat the fruit, you will surely die. But in that day they didn't die, because I guess God forgave them. And they repented. And so it is here. He sees that God is able to expand time periods and also to reduce them. So while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice. So how amazing is that, that a man prays to God and God sends an angel all the way from heaven to earth. And you see that sort of thing in the book of Revelation, that the incense, which is like the prayers of the saints, arises and angels go out of heaven and do things. So prayer changes things. It is as simple as that. And it just shows that God is very sensitive to our prayers. So Gabriel, the angel, was sent all the way from heaven to earth because of Daniel's prayer. He instructed me and talked with me and said, "Daniel, I am now come forth to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your petitions, the commandment went forth, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision." How wonderful to have an angel telling you, God really loves you. 70 weeks are decreed on your people and on your holy city to finish disobedience and to make an end for sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem to the anointed one, the prince, that's the Messiah, will be 7 and 62 weeks. It will be built again, even in troubled times, and after 62 weeks, the anointed one, the Messiah, will be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end shall be with a flood, and even to the end shall be war, desolations are determined. He shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he will cause the sacrifice and the offering to cease. And on the wing of abominations shall come desolation even to the full end, and the wrath determined will be poured out on the one who makes desolate. So, I think what God is saying is, all right, so there were 70 years determined, but unfortunately, the people haven't repented, so there's going to be another program, and it's going to be 70 weeks. Well, exactly what this means is hard to understand. If you take a week as having 7 days, well, 70 times 7 is 490 days. And if you take a day for a year, well, you have a period that you can, time period you can play with. The simple point is that God's purpose is flexible. That it was to be 70 years, but then, no. It's like telling a child, you're going to be in your room for 5 minutes on your own because you were naughty. But if the child then starts smashing up the room and starts going crazy, you then say, right, it's going to be longer than 5 minutes. You may say, right, no watching today. Tantrum. Right, no watching for the next 3 days.
Stop there.
And so I think that that's how God sort of dealt with Israel at this time. My point is that God is flexible, that he is a real parent, that he is really sensitive to human behavior, and more positively, that we're also told that we can hasten the coming of Jesus. And for the sake of the chosen ones, that's us, the days will be shortened, Jesus says. So, God is real. God is so sensitive to human behavior.